This is the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 174, for the week of May 30th, 2012.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. My name is George Albor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. And we're not always spending our time on the airwaves. Actually, sometimes we spend our time at conventions or various trade shows. For example, literally next week, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, is taking place in Los Angeles. And Scott, you and I are going to be there.
EXP at E3, baby.
So we're hoping next week, we don't know how much coverage we're going to do. We know that the schedule is going to be absolutely insane. That being said, we're going to aim for getting out some extra additional podcasts for you guys to listen to about some of our thoughts about what we're seeing there at E3 throughout the week. And then we'll follow that up the following week with a bit more of a structured retrospective about some of our favorite sites at the show.
Right.
Also,
right.
If you're going to be down there in LA for E3 and you happen to see us, do say hi. We love to meet listeners. So just, you know, if you spot us, wave us down. And you probably don't know what we look like, but maybe I'll just
print like, you know, ridiculously fake pictures. Like
maybe we'll get like stickers. We'll just put like a sticker. I'll have a sticker on my left shoulder. I don't know what the sticker will be.
I'm just going to walk around with a bullhorn because people probably recognize my voice more than they recognize my face.
Touche.
Yeah, but if you live down there in LA or if you're going to be at E3 and we run into each other, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we actually get down to LA, we do have a lot of things on our docket. Some of them, every now and then, if you believe it or not, actually to play games.
We actually play games.
And this episode, we actually figured we would talk about some of the games we're currently playing. So it's a sort of non-traditional episode. We're just going to be discussing some of the things that caught our eye in what we're playing and why we're playing them and our thoughts on them. And it's actually funny because unless you, Scott and I, are playing the same game, we almost never do this.
Yeah. We don't really have like the, a lot of podcasts have the like what you've been playing. News, emails. So like since our podcast is shorter, we don't really do that format. So there could be literally weeks or months that go by where we don't talk about what we're contemporarily playing.
And you and I even, sometimes we're very busy and we just don't get to chat about what we've been playing and our thoughts. Yeah. So, you know, some of the things that you listeners will hear today from Scott, I've never heard before either. So.
Oh man, doing it live.
Why don't we have you start us off, Scott? What have you been playing recently that has caught your eye?
So this is something that I played, it's been a while now, and I've been meaning to write something or say something about it, but I just haven't really found the right angle. I went back and played Christine Love's breakout hit, Digital, A Love Story. Mm. And for people that have listened to the podcast before, this is the same designer that made Don't Take It Personally, Babe, It Just Ain't Your Story. And her games kind of straddle the line between interactive fiction and adventure games and interactive novel type stuff. And this was the first one it wasn't the first one that she made, but it was the first one that got really huge, basically.
Right. I've never played that one myself before. Can you give me just a quick overview of what it's about?
Oh yeah, it's way more abstract than Don't Take It Personally. So it is based off of the earliest days of the commercial internet, where everyone was on BBS systems, and it revolves around, the story is you play as a silent and like wordless protagonist. Like you're posting things to the message board, but you only see people's replies to you. So, like, if you read a message and then you click the reply button, you don't see what your character actually wrote. You only see what people responded to what you wrote. Mm. So it's kind of an interesting way of, like, gathering what kind of character this person is and how they conduct themselves on the internet by people's reaction to them on the internet. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the overall story is there is you meet someone on a bulletin board and something mysterious happens to him or her. And then you go on a basically online odyssey to find them and figure out what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of twists and turns that I I mean, I don't know how much people care about it, but it gets kind of neuromancery after a while.
Okay. Is it like murder mystery like? Is there some suspense there?
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely, it's definitely a murder mystery. Yeah, I mean, there's some things about it that really remind me of those earlier days, you know, the 80s and 90s. To get around in the game, you visit different BBS systems, and so you have to dial into them with like various phone numbers for every bulletin board. Yeah. And you actually have to put in the phone numbers, and the modem sound goes, and it just makes you, it makes me kind of thankful about how much things have changed, because it's so much faster to get around these days.
Yeah. I like that. It's a good setting because it sort of it implies this digital expanse that you have to actually physically navigate.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, write down, you have an in-game notebook basically, but you write down codes to get into the password protected bulletin boards. You're ripping off the phone company to get free long distance to dial into the long distance systems that you're logging into, like just like people did in the old days. So it's like, it's a period drama almost, but it's also part, you know, digital murder mystery, and well written, like all of her stuff is.
So you found it emotionally affecting?
I mean, I think it's a little bit hard to say it was emotionally affecting, because I kind of saw where the twist was coming, and so I was preparing myself for it. But it was more of a, you know, it was a nice think piece, I guess. Like I said, I don't have a good angle of like what I would want to say about it, but I do think it's an interesting game, as even if, you know, even if it's only for just tracking what Christine's career path has been, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that there's a type of player who would be particularly intrigued by this experience?
I think if you like adventure games, right? You know? Right, right. I mean, it's very, you know, it's not a traditional game, and so if you're willing to do a lot of reading and you know, you're fine with basically interactive fiction, you know, that's I would say if you really like Don't Take It Personally, you should probably start with Don't Take It Personally. If you really liked it, try this one, because it's less accessible, you know.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. Maybe I should give it a try. It's free to play online, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I'll even put a link to it in the show notes.
Sweet.
So, besides indie games from years past, George, are you playing anything else?
So, I've only been playing some heavy hitters, and I feel like maybe we should just start off with basically what everyone else is playing right now.
Which is the Diablo. Big D.
The Big D, Diablo, of course. Gosh, you know, I've been trying to play for so long. Like, you know, when the game first came out, I was swamped with all of the errors that everyone else saw.
Yep.
You know, of course, the launch of this game was a complete shit show. and shortly, as soon as those server issues got resolved, I got swamped with work, and I could find so little time to play. So I'm only now really like getting any sort of progression. Today, I just surpassed like level 21 or 22, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. It's really good. I'm liking it quite a bit. But at the same time, there are some things that I'm not used to anymore, because it's been so long since I played Diablo.
Mm. You know, you mean like your index finger is like cramping up, like all the clicking?
Well, you know, like a lot of people have not necessarily called this out, because I think there's a lot of joy to be had. Actually, in better words, Michael Abbott wrote a recently great piece about Diablo, and how really, if you just lay out what the game is, it doesn't actually sound all that appealing, right? You just click on enemies and you fire things and it's a loot fest, and it theoretically contains a lot of the things that games that he dislikes have, and the same goes for me. But similar to him, you fall in love with it so easily. It's just the aesthetic choices that they make, and the sounds that occur when you kill something, or when you achieve a treasure.
Really like the Diablo sounds. I think that's a good point to bring up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so inseparable from the joy you get from doing it. It's not just that you do it, it's that when you do it, you hear the effect that you have on that world in such a pleasing way that so few games can think of have ever achieved.
Do you like the loot stuff? Because I find myself not as compelled by loot quests as the years pass.
Yeah, you know, I've never actually really been into sort of loot grinding. Yeah. And I'm not at that point right now anyway. You know, I'm not in a huge rush to become some demigod. I'm not, you know, PvP hasn't launched yet. So I'm not trying to catch up to accomplish the same PvP tasks that maybe others are accomplishing.
Yeah.
So For me, I'm doing it very casually. I'm not picking everything up and trying to sell it and achieve the best things. Most of the time, I'll just disenchant things I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's streamlined in such a way that it's not really that big of a concern. It's really easy to drop things. It's really easy to disenchant things. When you need to identify an item, which they still have, you just sort of right-click it, and then your character just thinks about it, I guess. I guess they're just looking at it for a while. You don't need an identification scroll, which they actually had in the beta. They got rid of that completely. Yeah. So the whole loot system is relatively fluid. The one thing I never really liked either was worrying about loot for my followers or my allies. And even in this game, you can still do that, but your follower only has like four things to equip, like a relic, a weapon for each hand or a two-handed weapon, as the case may be, and two rings. That's it. You don't have to worry about a lot of things. And for the most part, they're fine without you stressing out about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nothing feels overbearing.
Hmm. I mean, you know, for as much as we kind of snicker about WoW and you know, the way that Blizzard conducts themselves, it's like they know how to make a video game.
Oh yeah. I mean,
structurally, it took a while. They take their yeah, 12 years or whatever it took them to do, but like every time they release something new, it really feels thought out, and everything from, like you were saying, about the sound design to the tiniest visual cues to how they want to integrate, you know, the various game systems. Like, nothing feels, you know, just slopped together, you know?
Yeah. I do have some complaints, which I feel like I should voice, because I generally don't hear very many complaints at all from online, unless it's having to do with the launch of Diablo.
Is it structurally, or is this, like, the online always thing that...
No, it's structurally. It's about the game itself. One is, you know, as I've been playing along and I've gained some levels, I've been playing the Witch Doctor. I don't know if a lot of other people have been playing the Witch Doctor.
It's one of the new characters, right?
Yeah, it's one of the new characters. It relies heavily on summons. And I think this is the case with all classes, though. And it's just really hard to know which of your abilities are better than the others.
Mm.
Like, it's pretty difficult to track how much damage you're consistently putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some measurements in the game, but it's not entirely clear, you know, what applies to what ability. Whether or not damage applies to all of your spells, I'm still uncertain about.
Yeah. Can you turn on numbers over people's heads?
Or did so you can, and you did. But okay. that's one of the things, is it's sort of hidden there in the settings.
Uh-huh.
And another thing is you can actually... So in their effort to streamline the game and make it user-friendly, you have, say, three different abilities you can use at once in those early levels.
Mm-hmm.
And each ability is tied to a type. So you can have, so your left mouse button, for example, you can only choose from, you know, decay,
mm-hmm.
for example, as like the type of ability. And then you pick which of the decay abilities you want in that slot. And so there's, you know, you have a primary weapon, a primary ability and a secondary ability.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a limited number of options out of your total options to keybind that to your primary ability. Mm-hmm. Right. Now you can check the elective mode, I believe it's called. Which allows you to move abilities around as you see fit.
Completely, like you're signing up for college or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. It's basically giving you complete customization over your character. And I was really surprised that they hid that in the settings, and they don't tell you about that. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the tutorial that says, hey, if you want a deeper experience, you can mess with absolutely everything.
I wonder if they're afraid of scaring people off, because, you know, for a lot of people, this is probably their first Diablo, because... You know, they could have possibly not been born when Diablo 2 was coming out.
That's
so it's
true.
Like, maybe they are afraid of, like, scaring people off right away by throwing them into that customizing menu, you know?
Yeah, I think that's legitimate. It's just, I think it's a testament to the sort of, the weird place Diablo is, because it has such a following, and there's so many people who are so skilled at games, and Diablo in particular.
Yeah.
Like, people are familiar with this type of gameplay.
Yep.
Yet at the same time, like you said, it's been 12 years. You know, who knows what people's expectations are?
You know, I really wish that... Sorry, my mind started drifting to the online always thing. But I really wish that they would have given people the option to just roll a character that only lives offline, and then give you the option to play offline just for that character, you know?
Yeah, I think that would have been a great idea. And it's really frustrating because I have a relatively long commute to work, mm-hmm. and I would love to play Diablo on the train.
Yeah.
And I can't.
And it's like, and I think that would be a pretty fair compromise. Like, all right, you can play offline, but know that this character will forever be cut off of the wider internet world, just in case you're going to exploit the system and, you know, sell a bunch of stuff or in case you want to pirate it or something like that, you know?
Or maybe even allow those offline characters to participate in LAN.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a weird, you know, this like totality, you know, the mindset of it has to be completely online all the time, or, you know, it's just going to be anarchy is just weird, you know?
Yeah, for
especially
sure.
Especially for something like Diablo, it has such a history of people, you know, weirdly enough, like by themselves playing Diablo for hours upon end, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. To be fair, I've played mostly with friends and it's been great. And I think it's a better game with friends at that.
Well, I was doing a little bit of reading about how they integrate it, you know, like your single player experience, like your friends list is there all the time and people can just jump into your game almost passively, right?
Yeah, it's super easy to interact with your friends. There's many ways that you could join, like a lot of buttons, physical buttons to click to join someone else's match, things like that. It's very easy, very fluid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine we will probably be talking about Diablo 3 for the next decade or so. So it's we'll have to see how it like develops over the years, you know.
Well, then before we go too far into the sort of hell dimension that Diablo offers, what else have you been playing?
I'll go to something contemporary. Somewhat of a big, well, I don't know how big of a release this is, but I've been playing Starhawk, the PS3 exclusive. I was surprised at how much buzz this game got, especially when it was announced. I wasn't aware that Warhawk was as popular as it was, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I never played Warhawk, so I wasn't really, like, I didn't get caught up in that. I was more excited because we know a couple people that work at Lightbox, and it was just fun to see their game come out, you know?
Yeah, and smart people, so, like, there's automatically some faith in the game, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I've been working on a review of that. It should go up in the next couple weeks or so. And I've finished the campaign, and I've just been, you know, jumping into the multiplayer as much as I can to mess around with things. But, yeah, it's quite an interesting game.
Have you been playing the multiplayer at all, or just the single player so far?
A bunch of multiplayer. I mean, the single player is, you could probably finish the single player in an afternoon or so, because it's the single player is structured in such a way that it's somewhat like training for the multiplayer. Certain stages give you access to certain like building abilities and different combat maneuvers. I guess for people that don't know what it is,
I'm excited to see you describe this because it's pretty weird.
Right. It is a massive scale combat game.
Okay.
It's you can run around on foot, and it's an over the shoulder third person view. You know, various weapons, grenades. You can then jump into vehicles, and it's like tanks and various ATV type things. And it's also a flying game. One of your vehicles is a jet. The Hawk is what they call it.
The Star.
The
Hawk?
Star Hawk. And then it starts to feel a lot more like Star Fox or there was a PlayStation 1 game that I Colony Wars. It feels a lot like Colony Wars.
I haven't played that game in years.
Yeah, if you really want to engage in the deep cut, it feels a lot like Colony Wars. And also, you can build defenses on the fly as well. So you build walls and turrets and bases with guns in them. And so it's just this. It combines a shooter with a real-time strategy game with somewhat of a tower defense vibe. The impressive thing is that all of this happens on the fly seamlessly. There's no load times. There's nothing. Like, you can be running around on the ground, spawn yourself a jet, jump in it, and then all of a sudden be like a mile above the ground.
So now you can choose to spawn the jet. Like, there's a purchasing system involved, right?
Right. You destroy certain items in the game, or you just wait around until your currency regenerates enough, and then, you know, for you can hold like 12 units of power at a time, and so for like 4 or 5 units you can spawn a plane or something like that.
Does that lend itself to imbalance when you're playing a multiplayer game?
You know, that's what I've been trying to figure out, because there's a lot of different things that you can spawn, and some of them have upgrade paths and so forth, and I think a lot of it comes down to dexterity skill. Like, if you are good at flying a plane and you're on a team with a bunch of people that are good fighter pilots, then things can go real bad for your opponents really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're with some people that know the counterattacks to those things. Like if they realize how to build turrets and where to place them better.
Like then, anti-aircraft turrets.
Right, exactly. Yeah, which there's anti-aircraft turrets and then there's ground defense turrets as well. So it's like you really have to be smart about what you build. I think it's an ongoing project. Like when I started the game, there's a 450 megabyte patch.
So, oh my god. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they are tweaking things as they go along. Right. But it's interesting. I don't know. Sometimes I really, really like the game, and then other times it just makes me incredibly frustrated.
So tell me a bit about the buildings that you can create. Like you mentioned that it's a little bit like tower defense, but in the heat of combat, is that really what it's like? Like functionally?
Well, it's like tower defense, except you are on the ground while you're doing it. And the way that the in-game fiction is that you have these orbital supply ships that are above ground, and they just they let rip and just fling things to the ground when you call for them. So awesome. It's like, you know, you'll call in on the radio like, all right, I need a wall here. And then there will be a huge explosion and like a crater on the ground and a wall will pop up from it.
Well, I mean, to bring back the discussion of sound, that is awesome. Because I've seen some of the videos of it falling and that looks really satisfying.
The sound design and the visual techniques that they use to show the bases and the walls being built up are great. And like the sound of the jets flying over and like the sound, it's weird, like the sound of a jet crashing is really good too. Like they have this weird
well, hopefully
like,
you don't hear that too often, right?
Well, I mean, especially in multiplayer, those jets go down fast. Really? But they have this like weird Doppler effect on it, and like it's just everything. We don't really use these words very often, so I feel like I can use it. It is visceral. Nice. Like when a huge supply, like your buildings are dropping from the sky that are big enough for you to hold like 10 people inside and then a few on top. Mm-hmm. So it's like huge buildings and they're just dropping from the sky onto the ground. Yeah. It's a fun thing to watch.
So what is the scale of combat and how well do the aircrafts actually play a role in combat? Because, you know, my first thought is to something like Star Wars Battlefront, mm-hmm. where the planes are sort of engaging in their own fight and don't really interact with ground troops. Is that the way that it plays out?
Well, the trick with the planes is that if you press the circle button, they turn into mechs. So you'll see someone flying in and be like, okay, I'm going to take this person down with a rocket launcher, which is extremely satisfying to do if you're just on the ground. But then you see them get closer and closer, and then it's like, oh no. And then and then you see them land right in front of you. They turn into a huge mech and then stomp you. And awesome. So it's like, it's this weird, it's really fast paced. The problem is, I feel like some of the stages are actually too big. You have not enough people in the stages. Like I've been trying to jump into the games with the most people. Like it can hold up to 32 players, which
is 16 on 16.
Yeah, it's like a fairly big amount, but I haven't had a good luck getting into packed matches. So sometimes mm-hmm. you're like doing a 4-on-4 or something like that. And the world starts to feel really empty. And so it's not as, there's not as much chaos and there's not as much, you know, there's no specific classes in the game. People have to communicate with each other or take on the role of, okay, I'm a defender. I'm just gonna be building walls and turrets. Okay, like I'm an attacker, so I'll always be in the jets. You know, like
right.
And so if you have fewer people, it starts to get a lot more. You know, just it kind of feels like a watered down version of Halo. You know.
I see. Yeah.
It does. You know, I think Halo's a pretty good analogy. Like it is a more dynamic Halo since you are creating bases and spawn points and upgrading walls and so forth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty, there are very impressive parts of the game. The weakness of the game is that there's so much variety that it falls prey to the, like, it's not the best third person shooter out there. It's not the best plane simulator out there. It's right. not the best tactical battle simulator out there. It's not the best, you know, tower defense out there. So it's like, it kind of falls short a little bit short in many different categories in the interest of including all of those categories.
Yeah. But I mean, it certainly sounds, yeah, but it certainly sounds unique enough to be engaging, at least for a while.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to overstate how satisfying it is watching huge things crash down from the sky. Cause you can see things in the distance and you're like, oh no, my enemy just dropped down like three supply bases.
Oh really? Wow. That's really cool actually.
And part of, and the way you spawn into the world is you jump in to like a pod and fly down to the ground. And part of the battle technique is spawning yourself and spawning your equipment on top of other people to kill them.
Awesome.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I'm going to come down on it, but it's, yeah, it's unique. You know, it's fun to see. Also, after watching the credits for the single player, it's a pretty tiny studio, so it makes it more impressive to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to reading your review.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else?
What else? So I've been playing, and maybe you've seen some of this. I've written a little bit about the game here and there in the last two of my Pop Matters posts, and I think maybe on one of my Experience Points articles, and that's Terra.
Yeah.
Which is a recently launched in North America, a massively multiplayer online game, which, you know, I haven't played an MMO since I canceled my WoW account.
Yeah.
What, it's got to be like 3 years now?
Years, no. Yeah.
But yeah, almost 3 years, I think. And, you know, I was really into World of Warcraft back in the day. You know this, personally.
I know.
you know what I went through.
The dark days.
And so it's strange actually going back to an MMO again. And you know, Terra really sets itself apart. I've written about how it is ostensibly a quote-unquote action MMO. And right. I think that title really lives up to it. Like, a lot of the sort of traditional point-and-click-your-button gameplay is completely abandoned for you having to be constantly on the move. No matter what class you play, you are dodging things left and right. You are aiming things up if you want to hit with your abilities. That includes allies. So, you know, I've been playing a support class for a while now. I think I'm about level maybe late 30s, early 40s. And it's some of the best times I've ever had healing in a group, because mm-hmm. I'm finding myself being really on my toes, really having to pay attention in a way that I didn't in the other games, right?
Well, because if you miss, like, you're targeting your friends, basically, right?
With your spells. I mean, you can't really miss, because most of your heals are either within a certain radius, or you have to just lock onto them. But in order to lock onto them, you actually have to, you know, you have to get within range, you have to target them with your reticle. And a lot of the bosses, in particular, when you're fighting, are absolutely gigantic. And they'll spawn little guys that are getting all in your way. So you have to pay attention to physically, where are they at? What is the boss doing? How is the boss positioning himself? And in what ways can I make myself position in such a way to be the most efficient? Because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, you have to move around and targeting someone. That doesn't sound that complicated. But if you want to be a good healer, you want to be in a position where you can constantly heal them without concern. You want to be able to... I'm playing the Mystic class, and this class can leave little motes on the ground for your friends to pick up and heal themselves. So you want to leave those strategically around the battlefield as well.
Well, you got to, like, try to take into consideration what that human is going to do. Like, it's way harder to, like, figure out the tracking and the pathfinding of an actual human being than it is a machine.
And, you know, if you ever looked at me healing in World of Warcraft, you would generally see a screen just full of UI. Yeah. I've got, like, a list of my, you know, 10 to 15 people in my party that I'm healing, and I'm watching for their status effects underneath each one of them, and you've got the boss and the minions, and there's, like, timers and little guys, you know, the bosses have icons over their head to mark who they're at. And while there's some of that interface in Terra, for the most part, it's actually pretty sparse. You know, like, I'm moving the reticle around. I don't have time to hover my... I cannot, in fact, hover my mouse over your icon to see what status effect you have so I can cleanse that, right? I have to see, okay, he's purple, hit the cleanse button, get in range, do your thing. And it's just so much more fast-paced and exciting than other MMOs. And I find it hard to imagine myself ever playing an MMO that is not somewhat built upon this type of gameplay.
I wonder if this game has caught on enough that future developers will incorporate this, because, you know, taking a look at... you know, the Old Republic, I kind of feel like this would be a great system for a Star Wars style MMO.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, especially considering the sort of dance battles that are the definition of Jedi fighting, you know, when they've got their lightsabers and they're going at it, it's very choreographed and really aesthetically pleasing. And I don't think you get that across when you just whack, 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 whack.
Yeah. And if for some reason people's arms aren't being lopped off. Yeah.
Right. But in Terra, you know, some of the classes that are really mobile, you will see them doing crazy flourishes, and that flourish matters because they're jumping out of the way of a sword strike.
Yeah.
You know, so when they do a backflip that lunges to the side, or they do a roll, like, that you're watching them do something that's not just aesthetically pleasing, that is functional, like, that has a purpose, and yeah, their decision to do that ability matters.
Has lag been a problem at all?
I haven't faced any lag myself. I think the servers have held up remarkably well. They had
they need
really
to
good
if it's
going to
be that action oriented, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know what, I mean, I don't know enough about server side issues to understand how they're handling it, but they do a very good job. And actually, one really clever thing that I think helps is, you know, you might be on one server, but there are many channels on that server. I believe there are 10 for the most part, depending on the population. And so at any time, I can go to a different channel, and that channel is not occupied with as many people doing as many things.
That's smart.
And one of the best side benefits of that is I'm playing in a PvP server, so if someone is ganking you, you can just switch channels. They're not there anymore. You're on channel 6, they're on channel 2. Guess what? You just avoided, you know, having to... And I guess that sort of defeats the purpose of global PvP combat, but I think it's a really nice and simple workaround to avoiding a lot of the stress and tension that you get when you are being ganked or harassed.
Right, right. Hey, yeah, if it's in the game, it's not cheating, so yeah, it's all good.
So I'm having a really good time with it. Of course, the one thing, and I've mentioned this before, is it follows the exact same formula of everything else. Like, it is just...
Like killing rats and everything?
Killing rats, doing your quests. Like, sometimes people will ask you to, hey, please deliver this letter to this guy standing right over there, like, 5 yards. Just go over and talk. You know, like, that is a real pain, but... It's fun enough to keep playing in an almost sort of arcade way. Like, I just want to keep playing the MMO. It's a little strange now because I don't have I don't know very many people on my server, and it's like the first time I've entered an MMO since WoW. It feels so strange, you know, to occupy that space again. But
you're like going to a new town for the first. You know, you've lived in WoWville for such a long time, and like none of your neighbors are there anymore.
Yeah, none of my like, and you know, I think you need that good community to have an extended stay there be nice and welcoming. So we'll see how that works out.
You should learn Korean, because it's probably a lot of... It's a Korean game, right?
It is. It was, I guess, brought over by En Masse. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a great job. I mean, in terms of their translation and bringing it over and really sort of appealing to the American audience as well. Because there are aspects of the game that are super... quote-unquote Asian, or, you know, like very, very much the sort of cultural aesthetic that we know of from Korea and Japan.
Yeah.
So I could see it really rubbing people the wrong way, but I think they did a tactful job in changing it and marketing it.
Right, right. Cool.
Yeah. So before we end, is there any other last games we should talk about?
I've been playing a couple of smaller games. I've been playing Botanicula. Have you heard of that one?
I have, yeah. I almost picked it up. I really should have. I missed the Humble Indie Bundle sale.
It is great.
Is it?
Ugh. Yeah. Sorry.
Man.
It's probably pretty
rub it in
still, but it is. It's by Amanita Design, the same people who did Machinarium. And it's kind of like if Maurice Sendak and the Arcade Fire made a thing. You know,
they like, did. It's called Where the Wild Things Are.
but you throw in some more like Eastern European style aesthetic and even thematic stuff. Like, it's a traditional fairy tale. Like, there's some like dark stuff going on, but it's also whimsical at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's a point and click adventure game that has some interesting takes on the traditional point and clicking. Like, there's a lot of physical challenges. Like, you have to kind of herd things across the screen, or you have to flick things in an analog way rather than just clicking or not clicking, so it integrates some of the
Double
action
dare
elements into it.
Okay.
And it's just great. Like, Kirk Hamilton wrote a really good piece on the music and sound design. It's all instruments and voices, and it's, you know, it's a nice refreshing take on the small indie game that you usually get, like pixelated stuff, chiptunes, we all kind of know the deal, and like, this is just lovingly crafted artwork, great music. And I haven't finished it yet, so there's always a chance that I'll get stuck on a puzzle and end up hating the game, because you know how adventure games go.
How long is it, out of curiosity?
I would say probably, I don't know, 5-6 hours or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty long.
I mean, yeah, Machinarium was long too. Like, they don't mess around. Like, it's a fairly involved game. And so if you're into point and click adventures, I would completely recommend it.
Oh man, I'll have to check that out.
We played Awesome Knots. Remember that?
Yes, Awesome Knots is awesome.
Awesome Knots, for people that didn't read the review I wrote on Pop Matters, it is a side-scrolling MOBA. So it is League of Legends / Dota / whatever else you want to play, but as a 2D platformer.
And what's great is, the game takes, 15 to 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Which is significantly shorter than a game of League of Legends, which takes about, 30 to 40.
Yeah.
So it feels as short as it needs to be for mm-hmm. the type of gameplay. Like, it's a simplified MOBA, and now it's a simplified, shorter time period, and you get that same joy out of it. Like, I really enjoyed it. You and I were both playing couch co-op, which was awesome.
Yep.
And, I'm heavily into MOBAs. You're not as heavily into MOBAs. Yeah. And I think we were both getting a huge amount of enjoyment out of Awesome Knots.
And also, I mean, when you get good at it, I mean, once we kind of figured out the characters, we messed around a little bit more with the ability trees and so forth, we were just killing people.
Yeah, we were kicking ass. And it's so funny because, 3 weeks ago we were talking about whether or not being good at games makes you a better critic.
Yeah.
And now we're just, doing an awful job of critiquing this game. But we were good. We were genuinely good, and we're having a really good time. And I cannot – I really should pick that game up for myself. It's hard when I already have another MOBA to play.
Right. If you have more, and plus it's, free to play MOBAs, this is not a free to play game, and it's also only on the console. So there's a lot more, I don't know. It just feels like there's more barriers to entry, basically.
I would say though, if you've never played a MOBA before, give Awesome Knots a try. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's not a very long commitment. The community is not, it's not full of assholes like traditional MOBAs are.
Except when I get on the headset.
Well, I mean, and again, the learning curve is not nearly as steep. Yeah. So if you're just now learning to get into MOBAs, or you're curious about what this whole MOBA thing is all about, give Awesome Knots a try. And I think that, even if you don't move on into Dota 2 or League of Legends or Heroes of New Earth or what have you, you'll still have a really good time in Awesome Knots.
Yeah, it's quite surprising. I asked Chris for that game to review, not knowing what it was at all. Mm-hmm. And then when I started playing it, I was like, oh no, I made a huge mistake. Because I'm kind of compulsive when it comes to those things, too. That's kind of why I stay away from some of the online multiplayer, because I could just lose whole afternoons to it.
I think I saw you playing it, Saturday?
Probably. I mean, yeah. I am a pretty high level, an embarrassingly high level on Awesome Knots.
I hear you. Well, I think that's about it. I guess the one other game I've been playing is Thief Deadly Shadows.
Oh, man.
And I'm finally playing it. Justin Cavern will be so happy.
somewhere out there in internet land, he's like, yes!
I've been, actually, oddly enough, I haven't been able to play Diablo on the train to work, so I've been playing Thief Deadly Shadows, and it's really good. But, maybe we'll talk about that on another podcast.
Yeah, it's cool to kind of go back and find those classic games that you may have missed out on.
Yeah, especially one that's so influential, right. Like, Dishonored is coming out later this year, and that is heavily influenced by Thief.
Right.
And so I'm really excited to sort of finally partake in a sort of historical event and get it, when people talk about Thief in that almost religious way.
Yeah, it makes me excited to see what is up with Dishonored. Hopefully we'll be able to see that once we go to LA.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I think we've shown everyone, George, we actually do play video games.
We do, a lot of them, oddly enough.
We will turn it over to listeners now. If you want to write in with any thoughts or suggestions, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And for the summertime lull, we're actually having quite a bit of games out right now. So what are you playing? Someone out there is playing Max Payne 3, I'm sure. I hear that's pretty good.
Yeah, we've been talking about playing that. So tell us if it's worth it or not.
Yeah, tell us if it's worth it. Tell us what else you've been playing. And if you've been playing any of the games that we've been playing, let us know your thoughts on them. Experiencepoints.net is the website. We'd love to hear your comments in the comments section to this post. Again, we update the site Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening. So come on by and bring your friends to experiencepoints.net and popmatters.com.
All right. Until next time, everyone. Take it easy.
See you at E3.